We started off going through the laws of Edim Zomim from the Pesukim, and we learned that the thing you're supposed to do to scheming witnesses is Vasitem lo, you do to them, Kasher Zamam la'asot l'achiv, just as they schemed to do to their fellow. And this Mishnah deals with cases where it's not obvious how you're supposed to instantiate Kasher Zamam, exactly what they tried to scheme. It's not exactly clear how the punishment would transfer to the witnesses. So we had two examples of that in the last episode, and there are two more examples in this episode of a financial nature. Basically, the two clearest cases of Edim Zomamin are, there are Edim who say, we saw the guy, we're going to often call him the Nidon, the one who's being judged. We saw the Nidon, we saw him killing somebody, and what they're trying to do is trying to get him to have the death penalty, and therefore, if they are found to be scheming witnesses, which we'll learn about that procedure later, then it is the witnesses who are put to death instead of the Nidon. Similarly, another very clear case is financial. Imagine the Edim come along and say that we saw the Nidon signing a contract for 1,000 zuz with this other guy, and he's never paid it. What the witnesses are trying to do is trying to make the Nidon liable to pay 1,000 zuz. So that's also a pretty clear case, right? What the witnesses have to do is to pay 1,000 zuz. So here are financial situations where the amount that they tried to get the Nidon out of is not totally obvious. And so the Mishnah proposes a formula, an approach for how to evaluate the amount of damages the Edim Zomim tried to cause the Nidon. Me'idin Anu, say the witnesses, they say, we testify. Be'ish Ploni, about Ploni, the guy Ploni, the Nidon that I called him before. Shegirash et ishto, that he divorced his wife. V'lo natan la ketubata. But he didn't give her ketubah. Now, the ketubah in this context refers to the dowry, the property that is written in the contract of the marriage, or written into the agreement of the marriage, whether there's a physical contract or not. The dowry is the property that is brought in by the wife's family into the marriage, and it's the husband's responsibility to return the dowry at the end of the marriage. He has some rights to use it for business dealings during the marriage, but at the end, he has to return the entire amount of the dowry to his now ex-wife and ex-wife's family. That's not the whole story, because if the husband dies before the wife, then the wife gets to receive the ketubah back at the end. But if the wife dies before the husband, in most circumstances, can inherit the use of the dowry and the dowry itself from the wife. So it's not such a clear-cut case of there definitely will be money that is transferred from the husband to the wife. The dowry will definitely go back, because there is actually a little risk there that if the wife died, predeceased the husband, then actually the husband would get to keep the money. So it's not clear exactly how much the witnesses tried to get out for this guy, because the guy has a dowry, let's say 200 zuz, that he needs to pay back, but he only needs to pay it back in most circumstances. There is actually an exception where he doesn't have to pay it back, which is if she dies first, he might inherit it. So that's what the Mishnah goes on to explain. V'halo, bein hayom, bein lamachar, sofoli, tein laketubata. You might first think, well, in the end of the day, maybe the witnesses didn't get the guy to lose any money, because in the end, whether it's because he died or because he divorced his wife, he's going to have to pay that ketubah anyway. He's going to have to pay the dowry. So maybe they took away no money. So what does the Mishnah suggest you do instead? Omdin kama adam rotzeli tein ketubata shel zo. They evaluate how much a man would want to be able to do business with the dowry of this woman, knowing the risk, share im nit almana or nit garsha, that if the husband predeceases the wife, she gets the dowry back, or if the husband divorces the wife, she gets the dowry back. The imeta yirashana bala, but if she dies first, if she predeceases the husband, then the husband will inherit the property. We do an evaluation to try and work out how much money you would want based on the specific dowry that's involved in the marriage, given the risk of you might have to pay the money back or you might actually gain money out of it. So it's not a simple 200 zuz. There's some formula you use to sort of get there. I don't know anything about money, but I assume if you know something about money, you could work out what kind of risk that is. And even if you don't, you could probably ask enough people to figure out how much that money is, how much you would want to have access to this dowry, knowing that there is a risk that you will lose it at some point in the future. The other case is a little similar in the sense that it has a formula to work out exactly how much the Edim Zomim have to pay, but it's a slightly different case. The case here is, Me'idin Anu, we testify, Be'ish Ploni, about Ploni, Shehu chayav lechaviro elef zuz, that he owes his fellow 1,000 zuz. Almanat litanam lo mikan va'ad shloshim yom. And he has a specific payment period up to 30 days. Within the next 30 days, he must pay 1,000 zuz, which is a large amount of money. That's what the Edim testify about. V'hu omer, but the guy says, mikan va'ad eser shanim. Ploni says, I have 10 years to pay back 1,000 zuz, which is a much more reasonable length of time. So, again, how much money did the Edim try to get out for this guy? It's not exactly 1,000 zuz, because at the end of the day, he has to pay 1,000 zuz. And he agrees, he admits that he has to pay 1,000 zuz. The only difference is, does he have to pay it within 30 days or within 10 years? Which is a significant difference, but not 1,000 zuz difference. So similarly, the Mishnah recommends, Omdin kama adam rotze liten v'yubi ador elef zuz, beinot nan mikan v'ad shloshim yom. So they evaluate and they try and see how much a person would want to have in their hand 1,000 zuz, whether they have to pay it back within 30 days or within 10 years. How much money is it worth it for you to have an additional 10 years minus 30 days to pay back the money rather than in the next month? That's the end of Mishnah Aleph, of Mishnah 1, that sort of talks about these four different cases that are unclear how you're supposed to implement Vasitim Lokashir Samam, exactly what the witnesses schemed. In the next episode, we'll move on to two machlokot, two arguments between Rabbi Meir and his colleagues that are in Mishnayot Bet and Gimel.